Please bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, come among us. Fill us with your presence. Draw us to your word, that we may be made new according to your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's week one, and many of you have read and been part of the story as we launched that last week, and we begin this week. I was thrilled to have so many of you. I think we saw 45 people that were part of one of the story study groups already this week. 45 adults plus all the children, right? Like feeding of the 5,000 there. It was 5,000 men plus all the women and children, right? So that is awesome. God is at work among you, among us, and in the lives of each and every person. And God will be at work through you, among the lives of all of those that you will have the opportunity to share that story with this week. But where did that story begin? It begins that the title of the chapter that we read was The Beginning of Life as We Know It. And I think that's a pretty appropriate title because it tells us who we are and how this life is, even more than it tells us how it became what it is. I think so often when we come to the creation story, our training and our education and our minds are all at work, and what they want us to do is to ask the question, how? Oh, I want to know how God created. And then we come to these creation stories, and we ask that question, well, how did God do this? How did God put this together? And if you're like me, you've come away from that feeling like there's not nearly enough information in these stories to answer that question. And so you're highly disappointed with God's answer to how did I put the world together? The problem with that is that oftentimes I think that we come to it with the wrong question. I don't think that's what these stories are for. And it's not to say that they don't tell us a little bit about how. They certainly do. But the number one thing that it says about how is the world created is by the word of God. By God's voice, by God's direction, by God's design. That's how. And we say, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. You and I have a lot of different ideas, and God doesn't seem to share a lot of his with us on that. And so we can talk about that. But I think that the question before us is not so much how did this come to be, but what has come to be, and why is this world like it is? And when we start to ask those questions, I think you can start to see in the stories of creation, right away from the beginning, at least three things that are true. In that first chapter of Genesis, as God orders and fills the universe by his word, God creates and shapes and fills and celebrates that this is very good. And he rests in the completion, in the fullness of creation. That order is so clear. And it's paired, right? I don't know if you noticed how these days work. God creates light. He separates light from darkness on day one. And on day two, he separates waters from the sky. And on day three, he separates waters from land. And so, 3 days in, we have light and dark. We have sky and water. We have sea and land. Do you know what we don't have yet? Anything living. 3 days all the way in, and there's nothing alive yet. And the light and the dark have not been filled yet. We say, well, obviously, when God created light, the sun had to just burst onto the scene, right? Uh-uh, not till day 4. Now we're back to our original question, how? How did God do that? I don't know. Someday, as my mom would say, someday I look forward to asking God about that. And as I've said to my mom, probably when I get the chance to ask him, I won't care anymore. But God has created these spaces of light and dark, of sky and earth, of sea and land. And then on day 4, he begins to fill them. Stars and moon, sun, that fill this place. And who hasn't been amazed as we look at the night sky with all the stars that are too numerous to count? The Hubble telescope, you follow some of the things that they've done with the Hubble telescope. One of the things that they do with that often that is so fascinating to me is that they aim the Hubble telescope at the darkest space they can see, they can find in the sky. They aim it there, and then they open its shutter for days, for weeks, so that what we see as dark will be revealed. And when they've done this, each time they do this, they aim at a different place that looks like there's nothing there. And what they discover is that there are billions of galaxies within that dark place that have never been seen before. And I'm reminded of the words we had today from John. And the darkness does not overcome it. Our God, who creates light and life, who fills the skies and then sees to fill the skies in our world with birds and sea. The waters and the sky are filled next. And then as land is shaped on the 3rd day, what does God create on the 6th day? All of the vegetation and the animals. And he fills that place as well. God is our creator, our shaper, the one who makes this place abundant and full. And it is so very good. And when he sees the fullness of his creation, he says, I must rest in it. I must rest and celebrate what has been created. But we know that's not where this ends, right? It goes on to talk about those first people, Adam and Eve, placed in a garden, again, filled with the fullness, with the abundance of life that God has for us and for us all, for all of his world. And he gives them a charge to care for this world. As he has cared for them, we are called to care for creation. As God has created and shaped us, we are called to tend and shape and care for the earth that he has placed us in. But there's also limits, right? Because though we are created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, are any of us God? No. And yet, day after day after day, that is the temptation that is placed before Adam and Eve and before you and I as we go about our day. Who's going to be God in your life today? Will it be God? Or will you, like me and so many others before, make that choice again that says, I'd really like it, God, if you would, you know, just support me. Instead of the other way around. If I could be like God, if I could make that choice, And think of all the choices we've made. Oh, there's plenty of movies about that. They're always hilarious because we mess it up. And Adam and Eve messed it up, and Noah is going to mess it up, and Abram after him will mess it up, and Moses will mess it up, and all the disciples, they mess it up. And you know what you and I do? We mess it up. But what does God continue to do after we mess it up? This is where that children's message that we shared today, this is where that temptation comes in next. It's what happens with Adam and Eve. As soon as they eat of the knowledge of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, what happens? They look at themselves and they say, I'm naked. And they hide. They hide. Because they, and so when God finds them in the garden, he says to them, what? Why were you hiding? I hid from you because I was naked and ashamed. That's what they say. I hid from you because I was naked and ashamed. Do you remember what God says? God says, who told you that? Who told you? Now, Adam, who gets the question first, quickly blames Eve. And Eve, who gets the question next, quickly blames the serpent. And the serpent, at this point, stops talking. God did say he was the wisest and craftiest of all creation. I think that holds true even to there. Because who told you? Who told you that you should be ashamed? Huh. The truth is, I did. I tell me. I believe my word. I believe my own understanding of who I am when God has given me a different one. God has said that I am created in His image and it is very good, and I look and say, And I say that because of the choices that I make. And I know that they are wrong. Even the best of my choices are filled with sin. How are yours? You see, the temptation for us in hearing these stories is to say, we can somehow do better than Adam and Eve. If you believe you can, my question is, how's that going for you? You see, this is the beginning of life as we know it. Life as we know it doesn't have that option of getting it right. We're going to get it wrong. It's actually why we need the God who comes to seek us. And as I bury my face in my hands, in my shame, I'm reminded of those, of the toddlers and infants that we have played hide and seek with, or peekaboo with. You ever play with probably before they're, just right around when they're 1 year old, you know, and they're just starting to get enough motor control to do this, and you play peekaboo with them, and they do this. The brain scientists that we have start to wrestle with the idea that when they cover their face, what do they believe? Yeah. You can't see them. I can't see them. If I cover my face, nobody can see me. Now, we grow out of that, don't we? In terms of this physical covering of our face, we start to realize that, oh, in fact, when I do this, you can still see me. I wonder if we ever grow out of that spiritually. I wonder if we aren't still those children trying desperately when we know we've gotten into it again to cover, because then God can't see us. And God always can. I wonder also if we can hear in the question that God asks Adam after he's found, who told you you were naked? Who told you to be ashamed? As we play the blame game with one another, as we try to pass that off on someone else, I wonder if we can hear that even if it is ourselves and we finally admit that it is ourselves, I wonder if we can hear God say, it wasn't me. I didn't condemn you, and I'm still seeking you. Now, don't get me wrong. The bad choices that we make, the sin that is part of who we are, all of that is real, and it has consequences, and it has terrible consequences. So much so that God allows death to be part of our life, so that life can be restored again. So much so that God will send His Son to die for us. So that life can be made new as it was meant to be. This is who we are. This is life as we know it. Hiding with a God who eternally seeks to say a word of grace to you that says, I know where you are. I know who you are. I love you deeply. And I long for you to walk with me. May you find in the Savior this week, in the story of creation, not a story that says how this came to be or what happened long ago, but a story that tells you, when I'm hiding, God is looking. And God doesn't take away the consequence. But God will never quit working on a way for us to be together. He loves you that much. And He's created this place for you to care for and to know the one who made it all. May God be with us in our journey as we discover our story in His. Amen.